Hey, what's going on, fellas? Oh, jeez, man, nothing, man. We're just hanging out and stuff.
You wanna get high?
Don't be scared, homie.
Stop it, motherfucker! Stop it!
Happy ending! Now!
Nick's antics inside the octagon fuck with a lot of people's heads.
And Bobby's like, what the fuck is he talking about?
What does that even mean? Yeah,
exactly. And then the entire time the fight is going on, like, what, bitch? What you gonna do, bitch? What you gonna do, bitch? And then you hit him, oh, bitch, I just stung you, bitch.
Now I am the Kanga, the destroyer of worlds.
You're already dead!
We shall never surrender, whatever the cost may be.
Yeah, that's the
middle
of the
funky town. I'm not Nick Diaz. I'm the Nick Diaz of Knots.
Welcome to the show.
Woohoo! Welcome to the Nick Diaz of Knots podcast, episode 124. Woo! Coming right along with those episodes. My goodness, PB was right. Happy Monday to you all out there. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. If you missed this weekend's Music 2 Game 2 playlist podcast, you missed another dope playlist, if I do say so myself. An audible journey, as I'm now thinking about them. And let me tell you, I'm putting more effort into them now than ever before because I am listening to them now. I've listened to the one from Saturday 3 times already, front to back, people. 3 times. And I've already listened to episode 112 and 113 probably multiple times. The day when I did the 2 back-to-back, or the 2 days I did them back-to-back, the Friday, Saturday. Every weekend is a new roller coaster of songs, taking all of us from intense to smooth to experimental music. And if you missed it, you would have also missed the brand new Music to Game 2 intro I created, and I gotta say, I'm pretty goddamn impressed with myself about it. So make sure to go back and it's an I don't usually do an intro for them, so I know you don't usually get an intro, so go back to the last episode, episode 123. The first segment is a new intro that I created. And if you guys are interested later this week, I will go through the process of that. Last week was a banger of a week on this podcast with 5 guests. Myself being Thursday's guest on the recast of my Anchor Nation interview with the man, the King of the North, Kevin Touchy-Feely. Last week we had EDM producer Turbo on Monday, pro paintballer Ronnie Dijon on Tuesday. Wednesday, we had Osro make positivity louder, Hepworth. And on Friday, my man Positive Vibes joined me to continue the positivity trip. Today, I am so excited to bring you yet another call that I just got off with a friend of mine. This time, a friend from real life, from RL, who I've been talking about having on for weeks and finally made it happen. He recently went on a trip and experienced something very rare, very unusual, and you're gonna wanna hear what it was that he did. I was fascinated the entire time. It's been a while since we talked, and this is a great conversation. So much value in it. But of course, it's Monday. It's Monday, people, so before we get into any talk, we gotta play a song. We gotta pump ourselves up a little bit here. So the new AWOL Nation album is out. The song, what is it? Passion. I need it. That's what that album's off, or that's what that song's off of. And I will be devoting an entire day this week to this album. But as I want to get to this talk and only this talk today, as well as the 3 songs afterwards, I'm just gonna start with one of them. So, here is one of the songs from the new AWOL Nation album on the Nick Diaz of Knots podcast, just before we get to my talk with T about his crazy, crazy experience that he just went through, and you're going to want to check it out. I'm so happy I got him on the podcast. I'm lost for words right now. stay tuned. Make sure you have your Anchor app open and, of course, your Apple Music and Spotify enabled in order to hear the full songs on the Anchor app, which is why it is the most revolutionary app on the market today, and it's free. You can start your podcast today for free using the Anchor app. That's how I do it. All right, let's get to the first song on the Nick Diaz and Nuts podcast. Later.
Hello?
T, yes, we have it going on.
What's up? What's up, Nick? Good, good, man.
So first of all, why don't you go ahead and say hi to all the Nick Diaz of Knots listeners in the Anchor Nation out there?
Sure, yeah. Hello, fans of Nick Diaz of Knots. this is T, and glad to be joining on the call today.
So just to get everyone caught up to speed, I know this is. I know way more about you than everybody else out there. So, T, this is virtually his first time doing Anchor, quote unquote, doing Anchor. I met Tim years ago at my previous job, and as we worked extremely close together, both in the work we did and desk proximity for a long time, as you can imagine, sitting beside somebody like yours truly, we got into some really long, really deep, really intense conversations while we were working about you name it, from, you know, anything.
Everything.
From transgendered issues to pot legalization to Donald Trump to puppies to literally everything. And Tim actually was the first person I think I ever told about the Anchor app. And Tim downloaded the app the day after I downloaded the app back in July last year. And after I showed it to him at work, and both of our minds were just blown. We were just sitting at the desk being like, oh my God, this is craziness. But maybe that's a good place for us to start here, man. Do you remember that day? Do you remember what your first thoughts about like this Anchor app is or were, or maybe even some thoughts that you have now?
When I first downloaded the Anchor app, I remember thinking to myself, like, oh, this is pretty cool. You know, like I can check out other people's radio stations and stuff, but I never really made use of it. Or I guess I didn't really have an idea for how to use it.
That's what I was actually going to say too, is, when we first got it, we were sitting at the desk being like, oh, this is amazing. But as we were looking around, we were like, both of us didn't have a clue as to what we could do with it ourselves. But we were like, oh my God, all these people are doing stuff on this crazy podcasting app thing. So as you can tell, this is his first time on Anchor. He was a little nervous to come on just because I'm telling you, dude, being on Anchor changed my life. It's made me more open and made me more confident and all this different stuff. I can talk days about what it's done for me. But at the end of the day, one of the biggest things is you just got to hit that big scary red button and put the voice out there. So how crazy was it to get a call from Nick Diaz of Knots, though? Come on now.
Oh yeah, that was interesting. I was waiting on the call, and I was wondering how was it gonna like open my app automatically for me, and I was supposed to start talking through the app or whatever. But it's kind of cool, you know. It's basically like a phone call, and this is definitely pretty cool.
It in my opinion, it's revolutionary, but. I don't see Twitter doing this. I don't see Facebook's doing something like this now, I think.
Are they?
But, I've been out of the Facebook game for a while now, but I think guys like my boy, the Beast Within You, he's doing some Facebook audio stuff. I don't know how that works. I got to look into that. That's one of the things on my list. But
really?
So we're not necessarily here to talk about the app. We're not necessarily here to talk about the unfortunate snowboarding accident that you suffered last night. You're doing okay, though, bud?
I am. So
I don't hear any slurring. I don't hear you being confused about who you are or anything like that. So that's really good.
There's no liquid, like, dripping out of my nose or my ears, which apparently the paramedics said, like, watch out for that, because if that's the case, then your brain is swelling up and I might die in the hospital.
So but, I think they just tell that to everybody, to be honest, so that they don't get sued if that does happen. But
it depends
on how serious it was. Were you wearing a helmet?
I was wearing a helmet, and let me tell you, like, I am a full believer in wearing a helmet, no matter what you do from now on. Like, not like just for general life, but I mean, like biking or like skateboarding, or
if you're going faster than a run,
yeah,
you need a helmet for sure.
So let me tell you, like, how it happened.
That's what I was going to ask. I want to hear the story. Like, were you doing a trick? Did you go off a jump? Like,
what? Dude. So we were at Mount St. Louis and Moonstone, and this year they opened up a terrain park to the far right side of the mountain, if you're looking down. And so like, me and my buddy, we were just hitting up these runs. I was killing it, man. I was like taking off. I was getting big air. I was trying to like grab my board and stuff, you know, getting pretty cocky.
Mm-hmm. As one does.
Exactly. And then my friend wanted me to record him while he was doing tricks and stuff. So I was pretty much staying super tight to him with my phone in my hand. And he was doing cool tricks, you know, he was grinding on the rails, he was doing 180s, just looking super, super steezy.
Nice.
And I actually have the footage of the exact moment when I fell, on camera. Yeah, and it looks pathetic. It looks like nothing happened. But I basically just slipped, and then I hit the back of my head. Next thing I know, I'm dazed. I remember going down the mountain the rest of the way. Mountain. I mean, hill.
Yeah, hill. For everybody out there, there are no mountains in Ontario. The biggest we have is basically your bunny hills out there.
Exactly. So, I remember the rest going down the rest of the way down the hill, and then I saw my two friends, and I literally couldn't remember. Like, I couldn't remember how I got there, like who I was with, where I was.
Wow.
It was actually a really, really surreal experience. And like, yeah. My friends at first were like, whoa, like that sounds pretty serious, man. So we went back into the calf, took a seat. And like, at that time, my amnesia was still there. So my friend had to help me relive my entire morning, because I literally had forgotten everything. I'm telling you, everything.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was pretty scary.
I was gonna say, were you like aware in that moment? Like, were you able to be scared, or were you just like, what's going on right now? Like,
so luckily, like, yes, I was aware. Like, I wasn't slurring. I could remember my name and everything, but like, but not being able to remember that morning, and like how I even got there, like, that's something I've never experienced before, right? Like, yeah, I like being in control of my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the first thought I have, I got two thoughts here. One is, it's usually when we least expect it that the bad things happen. And I think the part with that is your awareness is kind of not on yourself, and it was on the filming of your friend. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just it takes, you know, ultra awareness when you start filming. And I only realized that recently when I started, filming. I went to Whistler last year, and, I was filming with a GoPro pole and stuff like that. And even that is, it takes another level to be like thinking about camera shots and stuff like that at the same time. Seriously, people don't think about it. People really don't think about how much effort it takes to film somebody. Sure, it's no problem to turn on a camera. But do you want this to actually look good, or do you just want to kind of like capture what you were doing a little bit?
Exactly. And, you gotta get the right like framing, and you don't want to miss any part of like a jump or something.
Exactly. Exactly. You got to lead them a little bit.
Like, exactly.
There's a lot of art in this, and people don't appreciate it. But we're not here. I'm so glad to hear that you're good, man.
Yeah.
But we're not, again, here to talk about snowboarding at all. What I wanted to bring you on the podcast to talk about is this recent adventure you went on to a retreat where, let me see if I got this right. Correct me if I'm wrong, but a retreat, like you went somewhere in the world, South America?
No. This is actually in Egbert, Ontario.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half away from Toronto.
Okay, hour and a half away regardless. In my head, I was like, oh, you're in, like, paradise.
But, it might as well be paradise.
That's even cooler. And so you went to this retreat an hour and a half away for 10 days where you were silent.
Silent the entire 10 days.
How many hours is that? I can't even think, but it's like 24 times 10.
24 times
40, right? 240 hours of just.
Yeah, so it's 12 days total, but 10 days of it in silence. So, yeah. No. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I want you to talk. I want you to talk. Tell me what it was like.
So it's a Vipassana. The retreat is called Vipassana. The meditation technique is called Vipassana. And so it was a 10-day silent meditation retreat. You basically sit 8 to 10 hours every day for 10 days.
Where?
And,
like so, in a tent, in a building? Where does that...
So there's a meditation hall where most of the students gather to meditate during the day. There are times when you're allowed to go back into your dorm or your residence, wherever you stayed at, to also meditate in your own time. So it's up to you. A lot of people choose to meditate in the communal meditation hall. And so that's where I did most of my meditating. And yeah, so on the silence part of the retreat, so there's no eye contact, no body gesturing, no talking.
I was just
going to
ask. Now, silence can mean so many things. It's not. So I took it as no talking, but you're saying no communicating.
Yeah, it's so they call the concept a noble silence. So you're just supposed to be as quiet and silent, and you're not trying to disturb other students as much as possible. So it was very, very interesting. And at first, when I walked in, I thought, oh my god, I'm walking into a cult. You know, like this.
Yeah,
is...
I mean, to everybody out there, you're not necessarily like some hippy dippy. Not that there's anything wrong with anything I'm saying here. It's just like you're relatively speaking a normal guy. Like skateboarding yesterday, like all this different stuff. But one of the things that I love about you, dude, is you love experimenting and exploring both inner and outer space, technically speaking.
Yes, absolutely. And not like I wouldn't consider myself a hippy dippy kind of person at all.
Where, right? I came from,
but yeah, like it was my friend's idea. We had heard about the Vipassana silent meditation retreat from many of our friends who have done it before. So me and my buddy one day were like, let's just go for it. So there's actually a waiting list to get into this course. And so me, my friend, and my two friends signed up back in September for the January 10-day course.
I assume they go all throughout the year. This is just the January's version, right?
Exactly.
So I got a couple of questions. I'm just burning with questions here, but I got a couple of questions off the top of my head. So when you came in, what, like, was there a gong that went?
Yes. How did you know? Have you done this before?
I've never done it before, but my girlfriend's reading a book about chakras right now and about the vibrations of the universe. And so I've been talking a lot about that recently. Huh. And so... also the joke, every time I talk about the vibrations of the world and stuff, I think about the Bill Hicks joke where he's talking about a good drug story being on the news. And, today a young man took acid and realized the whole universe is all matter in the universe is simply vibrations moved or sound just, slowed down to a vibration or something like that. I always think about that joke. And because at the end, at its core, reality is just vibrations when we look at string theory and stuff like that. So yeah. Anything that we can do to affect the audio and really anything to affect these vibrations, and it's not just caused only by audio, but obviously audio causes the vibrations, can be very, very, I guess psychedelic is the word, but you're not even necessarily taking any drugs here. You're just using your mind to experiment with reality, and it's fascinating.
Exactly. So yes, you're right. Like the vibrations thing I felt at a physical level, it was a very real thing. And yes, every morning, every morning, to wake everyone up, there'd be a gong. 10 minutes before, so like there are these group sits where everyone is supposed to get together as a group to sit and meditate together in the meditation hall. There'd be a 10-minute like gong warning or something. Wow. So there's these bells and cowbells and gongs being rung at like certain times just to remind everyone, like, okay, time to wake up, or okay, time to go meditate. It was a very, very, very surreal experience. And when you hear that ringing and you're in silence for so long, like that ringing really resonates like throughout like your body, and like I don't know.
It's the only thing you've heard in however many hours, and yes. Then all of a sudden, and when we think about it, I mean, you're saying this sound, and it's like, what is that? That is this vibration of air, you know, coming through the air, going through walls, going through people. Yeah. It's affecting everybody that's at this retreat that can hear it.
Absolutely.
And putting them, in my opinion, on the same vibration.
Yeah, yeah. And it sounds like, you know, like 2 years ago, if you were to tell me about like vibrations and energy and stuff like that, I would have thought like, you sound fucking crazy. but now that I've actually done this 10-day retreat kind of thing, you know, I've actually felt like vibrations within my body. So let me tell you about the technique of Vipassana, right?
Yes.
So they teach you how to observe your breathing. So they tell you to strictly focus on the breath and the touch of air coming into your nose and coming out of your nose onto the upper lips. Onto the area above your lips, underneath your nostrils. So there's this very tight triangle that you're focusing on, and that's all you're focusing on for the first 3 days. So
between my nose and my mustache, for any other beard or mustache holders out there.
Exactly. Yes. So focus on the breathing and the touch of air in that very, very tight triangle. And I did that for 3 days. And
so just to let everybody know, as he was talking there, I was just breathing in through my nose and trying to focus on that. And in my head, I've done meditation before, but in this moment right now, I'm like, there's no fucking way I would last 10 days doing this, let alone three. But okay. So you do 3 days of like getting into that zone of breathing into your middle of your nose thing.
Yeah. So they say, they teach you that by doing that, you're training your mind to be hyper aware of the sensations that you're not typically aware of that can touch your nose or touch the area that your mustache area. And by attuning your awareness to these sensations, and starting in day 4 through to day 10, that's when they tell you to start scanning your entire body for these very, very acute, very, very subtle sensations. And so as you're feeling these sensations throughout the top of your head, to your neck, to your arms, to your body, to your legs, to your feet, etc., and then you constantly scan up and down, eventually you get to what they call states of free flow. And once you're in a state of flow, that's when you can really, really feel the vibrations in your body and really how you're at the end of the day, like we're all just atoms that are constantly vibrating with each other. Deep down at like the chemical level. I could be wrong, but that's
no, you're 100% right. There's a couple of songs that come to mind in my head.
Which is something I've always thinking about vibrations and stuff, like you know exactly what this entire meditation retreat is kind of about already, right? It's feeling the vibrations, the sensations, and then the philosophy is to not attach too much meaning or too much significance to these, whether they're pleasant sensations or unpleasant sensations. And so
they're just sensations.
They're just sensations. And at this physical manifestation, this physical level of understanding that sensations all pass, right? Sensations are impermanence. By understanding that, you can also understand, I guess, at the regular level. I don't know, for lack of a better word, at the human level,
base level,
yeah. That, you know, everything is impermanence. Don't become too attached to things. Don't try and avert from unpleasant emotions or feelings or sensations, and just live a really balanced and a balanced life.
That's beautiful, man. This sounds like it was so powerful for you to experience. I can only imagine what, you know, it would do to myself or hell, anybody out there, especially somebody that's not necessarily already attuned to a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was a very, very, very beneficial, very positive experience. And so I just wanted to mention my friend.
Of course.
One of my friends has a lot of personal demons, you know, in terms of like drinking and drugs and partying and all the whole shebang.
Sure, sure.
Coming out of the retreat, he is a totally different person. He hasn't sipped alcohol. He has zero desire to do drugs. He has zero desire to party. It is like incredible to witness this 180 degree change in someone because of this.
Honestly, I think what it must do, now that you're saying that, and I'm really thinking here, it almost feels like we're getting down to the, as you were saying before, the cellular vibrational level of consciousness. And for 10 days, you are going through a soul cleansing experience, almost like a reset button for your soul, in that you get 10 days to start this new thing where you are a blank slate. You're not addicted to drugs, or I'm not saying he's addicted necessarily, but I'm just saying, you're not doing these things out there in your life, and you get to come back. And it reminds me of, what I've learned about, do you know anything about, or you ever heard of Ibogaine?
No. What is that?
Ibogaine is a very, very, very powerful psychedelic drug. It's, I believe, a root that is used in ceremonies and stuff, but its main use right now, or at least its beneficial use for people, is it basically it's got a 90%+ rate, I think, of curing addiction of anything, heroin, opiates, wow, whatever it is. But to get there, you got to go through about a 36-hour intense, like, introspective, like, crazy DMT-like trip.
Oh, man.
But you come out the other side. Basically, the way I've never done it, obviously, but the way I see it is you go through hell, and you're like, listen, no amount of heroin is worth going through that.
Oh, man.
And I see so many similarities when drug rehabilitation centers and stuff like that. But this seems like a soul level, a cellular vibrational reset button.
Yeah,
this 10-day retreat.
Yeah, and I just want to mention I've done, you know, my fair share of psychedelics before.
Woo.
Doing psychedelics. I don't want to put down psychedelics or anything, but doing psychedelics is sort of, I felt like it was a shortcut to what I was able to achieve through meditation. Right?
Yes.
And the fact that let me tell you this. Okay. On day 8, day 9 meditating, I started getting this intense, like, weird pressure, like, in the middle of my forehead. It literally felt like this sounds fucking crazy, but it literally felt like my third eye was being ripped open. That's the sensation that I was getting in the middle of my forehead.
Whoa.
And so
whoa.
As I was meditating and feeling this sensation, I was trying to not attach too much significance to this sensation in the middle of my forehead.
As you were told not to. Yeah.
Yeah. And eventually, like, it just, like, I started seeing these crazy visualizations, crazy hallucinations, like, right in the middle of my forehead. There was this blinding light that, like, I couldn't, my eyes were closed, but I couldn't bear looking into it, if that even makes sense.
Wow.
Because it was just shimmering in my eyes. My eyes were closed. Shimmering in my eyes. And it was just this intense psychedelic experience that I actually achieved through meditating. So,
like, and that was first time ever getting, quote unquote, that far.
Exactly. First time ever. It was mind-blowing that I was able to get to that state just through sitting in a room for 8 to 10 hours.
Quote, and unquote, doing nothing.
Quote, unquote, doing nothing.
Right.
Whew.
Right. As I think you're getting to, the mind is way more powerful than, you know, even though you're aware of, you know, how much more powerful it is now. And I'm talking like I know how powerful it is. I can't even imagine how powerful, you know, the mind is. We only get shades. We only get like slivers of it in our lives. I feel, I don't even know if anyone will ever truly experience what the whole mind is capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Because even like a Zen monk doesn't get to experience what the mind of a suburban mom gets to experience. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
It's all slivers, and man, that is fascinating. So I got a couple of things to suggest to you now.
Mm-hmm.
One is float tanks. You gotta do float tanks now.
You have been talking about float tanks for a long time, and I really, really am interested in trying that. So while I was meditating, like a couple of times, like the thought came across my mind as I was meditating. I'd be mm-hmm. like, man, I should really do a float tank.
yes. Oh man. So for everybody out there who has no idea what a float tank is, just really quickly, it is a basically anything from a glorified coffin to a full-sized room that is filled with a little bit of water and a fuck ton of salt, and enough salt that you basically float in this water as if you're floating in space. And then you close your eyes, and after, you know, 10, 15 minutes, you feel like you're in space. And it is something that I truly feel like every human being needs to experience, unless you are actually going to go to space.
And you've been talking about that for years, man. So,
but the reason I'm saying it is because I've been aware, quote unquote, of, you know, the idea of vibrations and stuff since about 2005, when I watched this, what I now believe is a Scientology documentary called What the Bleep Do We Know? And they were talking about different vibration stuff that can happen. But when I got into a float tank, one of the first huge realizations I had, and it was so real that I started laughing. That's how you know something's real. It's either, you know, if you laugh or cry, it means that something's really, really hitting you, really touching you. So basically, I was lying in the float tank, and, you know, I've done floating probably 5 times now, and every time is a different thing. And I always go in being like, oh, I bet you I know how this one's going to go, because I've done it 2 times before that. I've done it 4 times before this. I know exactly what I'm going to do when I get in there. And the thing is, the float tank doesn't change. The building doesn't change. But you are a different person every time you go into the float tank. And so after, you know, X amount of time of basically coming to grips that, oh, there's a whole new set of stuff that I have to deal with or like have to deal with before I can get to that state. You know, it can be anything from, oh, did I lock the car out front? Oh, maybe I should get, seriously, this is one of the thoughts that I remember having. I should probably get out of this float tank, and I'm naked right now. I should get out of this float tank and go lock the car so I don't have to think about that anymore. And part of the meditation thing is being like, you know what?
Yeah,
you just gotta let it go.
You
just
let it go. You
let everything go. And and you said something about drugs being a shortcut to psychedelic drugs being a shortcut to what you got through meditation. And that's how I describe. That's one of the ways I describe float tanks, is especially for somebody that's never done meditation before. It can be a shortcut to the beauty of meditation, because you're not thinking about your clothes. You're not thinking about your house and how dirty it is. You're not thinking about how all this different stuff, all you're thinking about is being in this weird tank that you're floating in. And then, sorry, I'm getting to this point, and I'll let you go off here for a bit. But the point that I'm getting to about the vibrations is the first realization that I really revolutionary realization I had was at one point I was doing the meditation, breathing in and just focusing on my breath, da da da, not believing it was going to work. And then all of a sudden, everything, like I was like kind of like moving around in the tank as you do sometimes. And then all of a sudden, everything just stopped. And the vibrations of the water stopped. And I was like, oh my God. In my head, I didn't move. In my head, I was like, oh my God. When my mind is calm, the water is calm. And it was so real to me that I started laughing to the point that the water started to bubble up and stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm laughing and the water's bubbling. This is craziness. What is going on right now? I'm controlling the water with my body. And it's so powerful because we are mostly water. And so when you submerge yourself in this water and stuff like that, there's this weird connection that happens because the water is, of course, the temperature of your body. So it doesn't even feel like you're in water and you're floating in it. So it doesn't even feel like you're lying on anything. You're just existing.
Whew. When the mind is calm, the water is calm. That I feel like that should be a tattoo, or like you should like,
dude. That's some Zen, Zen shit. Literal thought that came out of that one, and that stuck with. I think that was my second float. No, I think it was my first. And when I came out of my first float, I was so blown away, and I thought I floated with my two brothers, not in the same tank. They were in different tanks, but I came out. And I guess I was quicker than the rest of them. And I came out and I thought I saw my brother, and I just walked up to him and gave him a big hug and said, I love you, man. And it turned out it wasn't my brother. But that's the type of mood that I was in, that I would just go and hug this guy that I didn't even know if he was my brother. It turned out to be the guy that worked there. And he's like, it happens sometimes.
Wow.
But it's a surreal experience. And Float Toronto, shout out to Float Toronto. That's where I've done it multiple times, and they now have upgraded their systems fully. So it was a glorified coffin, basically, that you would close the hatch on yourself to get in before, and now they've upgraded it to a full float room. So dude, now's the time to go do it. Also, there's one in Mississauga as well, just FYI.
Oh really?
Yeah, Float Mississauga. And they have a deal. It's three floats for $100 right now. So
I gotta go check it out.
So I guess another question I had about the retreat, just getting back to your experience there, was on top of, you know, the vibrational awareness that you now have in your life, I would say, and maybe clarity or whatever, were there any other insights that you kind of, or realizations that you had while you were under, quote unquote, during the retreat?
Yeah, I had a lot of realizations. A lot of it, like, it's sometimes I feel like it's a bit unfortunate because they don't allow you to bring books, or like they don't allow you to bring a pen or a notepad just to write down all these thoughts that I had.
Think about that. I thought, I thought you would be able to bring a notepad.
No, it's zero.
Like, not even with yourself.
Not even with yourself. You're not allowed to bring a book. Like, it's just zero sensory input or even output at all. So I did have a lot of insights. And I think one of the most important ones that I came to was just being compassionate with yourself. Understanding of yourself, and just like actual true self-love, you know, like not treating yourself to like a nice meal or having a nice car or having nice things, like truly to be comfortable with yourself and to love yourself, and for all your flaws and imperfections, and including perfections or whatever,
of course, the whole package.
Yeah, because when you're meditating, you struggle quite a bit. You'll find that your mind wanders a lot. You know, my mind would imagine, my mind would imagine these crazy things, and then sometimes my mind would just be too tired, and I'll start falling asleep. And inevitably your frustrations will grow with yourself and with the practice. But compassion is something that I got out of it deeply, and through that and through self-love and self-compassion, only then are you able to express that in a sincere and genuine way to other people as well.
Wow. So, it's like what they say about love, like you got to love yourself before you can love somebody else. And it's yes. like it replace love with literally any of those things that you just said, or I'm sure tons of other things. The other word that comes to my mind when I hear the word compassion or like self-love and stuff is patience.
Patience, absolutely.
Patience is a big thing for me right now.
Absolutely.
And just patience and understanding basically come together to form compassion, I feel like. And so I think that's amazing that it kind of renewed this sense of self-love and compassion for yourself. I mean, we all have it to a degree, and we all don't have it to a degree as well, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But so doing things like, and we're always, I'm sure, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I'm always like, I think people and myself included, we're always probably looking for that next thing to kind of lift us back into that thing. I guess maybe not everybody, but maybe people like us. And so this, I mean, you've gone on so many adventures before. You've been on so many adventures before haphazardly as well. But it seems, stuff like this is, you said so many things, like you said, the process, and that is one of the most important things as well, I think, is knowing it's a process / journey, and yep. almost no one's going to be on the same exact point of the journey as you are, and their journey might not even be the exact same journey as, you know, mine, yours, whoever's, but it's, and again, the word you just said, compassion, is just smashing in my head right now. Yep. It's just, that's the only way that makes sense. The only way that you can ever truly understand that other people have this journey that might not be your own is to be compassionate.
Exactly. And, wow. And yeah, like it's very important to understand that like everyone's journey is going to be different. Everyone's journey, everyone's process is so wildly different. Because you all have your own unique inputs and outputs, and yeah, just be compassionate.
So that is amazing. What was the name of the retreat again, just quickly for everybody out there?
It's called Vipassana, Vipassana.
Okay, I'll put a link for that in the title of the segment for any of the anchor listeners out there. There was one more thing, one more topic that I really wanted to get to that I think is going to, that's a really powerful idea for people out there to hear. And we don't necessarily have to go too deep into it. Definitely don't have to mention names or anything like that. But one of the most amazing things, inspiring things that you've done for me, I guess, not for me, but in your life that's inspired me on top of your adventures and stuff, is your round table discussion nights.
Ah, yes. The infamous round tables.
The infamous, now infamous, in my opinion, round table discussion nights in which you get together with anywhere from 4 to 7, 10 of your close friends. I don't know.
And we try and keep it to 4 usually.
Okay. And you do a huge dinner, and then you basically just get into a huge discussion, like a quality discussion, I will say, about articles that you've found either online in newspapers or whatever that touch on really current issues, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to touch on current issues. It could just be any sort of issue or any sort of interesting and controversial, potentially controversial topic.
I guess where I was going is unconventional or thought provoking, I guess, is like where mm-hmm. I was going with that. Just current, like, current events definitely wasn't the right term there. But so kind of like the discussions that we would have at work. You would have discussions about literally everything from government to societal problems to
yep.
Meditation to just all these different things. And I just want you to catch me up basically on maybe the topics maybe that were discussed in the last one? If the last one was recent enough for you to remember.
Sure. Yeah. So, some interesting ones that that have come
or
up.
Or notable ones. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So some interesting ones for sure that have come up recently would be topics like voluntarism. So that's the concept of like you can't force anyone to do anything. Like you always have to only volunteer. I don't know if I'm explaining the concept right, but basically like something like taxes would be anti-voluntarism. And then the controversy there would be like, well, if people don't pay taxes, then how would civilization run, or right. how are streets going to be clean? And then the author in that particular article mentioned how, well, humans are generally compassionate regardless. So taxes are just bad, or something like that. I'm butchering.
No, I get it. It seems to me like what's bouncing around my head right now is the word freedom. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a freedom is this tricky word that, again, it's semantics, but everyone has their different ideas about what freedom is. And I think in the West, I mean, everywhere believes they have a certain level of freedom. They're entitled to a certain level of freedom. But in the West, we've kind of given up some of our freedoms for this involuntary stuff that we do, such as taxes, where it's like, we have to pay taxes right now. We can't not pay taxes right now. And there's so much good that comes from it, but it means that we're not 100% free. That's just what it means. So I think that's kind of what that topic's getting into a little bit, maybe. But this is basically how it would go at work, people. He would go have his roundtable discussion with his friends, and then he would come in the next day, and we would basically rehash the entire thing and share our updates, insights, whatever. Like that. So,
and another one that I feel like you might have a pretty good opinion on. Is what we talked about, antinatalism. So that is
that exactly.
Hold on, let me pull it up on because I I don't want to butcher the definition of antinatalism.
That. I appreciate that.
Antinatalism. Yeah. So like it's a philosophical position that assigns a negative value to birth. Antinatalists argue that people should refrain from procreation because it is immoral. Yo, this topic was controversial.
Oh, what's that subreddit? There's a subreddit for people who don't like kids.
Yeah. I feel like I've heard of that
it's
before.
It's so hilarious. Subreddit for not liking kids is what I like. Child free. It's child free.
Child free.
That's what it is.
Yeah, but it's a very, very interesting topic because
that is a fascinating topic because arguably it's the topic of whether or not you want our species to survive or not.
Exactly.
Arguably,
it's that one like blew my mind. You know, like
that there were people that might not believe in pro-life, so to speak.
Yeah, and also just the philosophy behind assigning a negative value to birth, because antinatalism would suggest that it is morally better to just not have kids versus having kids, because the net value of having kids is potentially more disastrous than not having kids, because you know that kid might not be able to choose whether or not they wanted to be born into a life of suffering or whatever. So it was that one blew my mind, and for the listeners out there, I would highly suggest you look up the Wikipedia article for antinatalism, because it's a very, very interesting read.
I will put the antinatalism in the title as well, so we can see if people will Google that out there.
Yeah.
To me, that it's, of course, you know, you get into birth, you get into pro-life, you get into abortion, all that stuff. That's tricky issues because
very tricky to navigate.
It's again like freedom. Like, what is freedom? What is life? And ultimately, for me, my feelings on it. And again, if you don't want to have kids, that's one thing. But if you don't think and you're actively working to, I guess, I don't know if it's possible to stop other people from having kids, or like you think it's bad that other people are having kids and you're bad, mean to them or whatever. To me, that's a sign of hopelessness in the future. And if you, and I'm sure many people out there are, which is why this is an actual thing. You know, many people don't necessarily want our species to survive. Look at people that are aggressively, you know, vegan and believe in, don't believe in meat and stuff like that. That would rather literally, I'm sure they would rather many human beings starve than potentially an animal go extinct. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
As Joe Rogan says, I'm team people. So I believe that children, truly, I believe that children are the future, the hope in this race. And when you say that you don't want something that you don't even know what it's going to be, to be here, that's hopeless to me, because you don't even believe that is possible for change. And without that, what are we doing here? What are you doing here?
But then let me play the devil's advocate here. I don't stand on either side of this issue. Mm-hmm. Like me myself, I think I would love to have kids one day of my own. But let me put this to you. So let's say someone has a kid, and then that kid ends up in an extreme life of suffering. Let's say grew up in a really bad family and was given really bad circumstances. Maybe okay. Was born with a disability. I don't know.
Okay. I'm just trying to get context here.
And then so that kid is then born into a life of suffering. What was my point here?
That a child was born into a life of suffering that
And he had no choice whether or not he could choose or whether or not he wanted to be born into this world of suffering or not, you know?
It's difficult. It's a difficult one.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's almost like the law and growing up, and this is probably what's led me to be part of who I am today, but I would literally think about the law and like defending myself in a court. I've never been to a court or anything like that, but I would think about defenses that I would take. You know, why did I take 3 steps to pass this square of cement on the sidewalk instead of 2? You know, literally, why would I do that? And so all I'm trying to think of here is that, what was I getting at? Is that the law, damn it. Talk too much, was thinking too much about sidewalk squares. You were saying, though, that the
kid did not have a choice, basically.
He didn't have a choice. Right.
He was born.
Right. So where didn't get to choose. With the law, right, I got it now. We're back on track here, people, is intent. And that if the parents were, you know, Dr. Evil, and they're like, I want to have a baby that's going to be so fucked up that he's going to hate his life for his entire life and hopefully resent the fact that he is alive. If that is why they decided to procreate, then yes, that is a terrible, 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 terrible life that I would never wish for the worst enemy of mine. However, I believe in intent, and I'm adamant that no parent out there of any child got pregnant, you know, at least not that wasn't raped or through anything like that. That doesn't want, even in that case, I'm sure they don't, if they decide to have the kid, I'm sure they don't want the kid to be messed up. So it's like the intent is not to have that happen to the child. The intent is all in the hope of the future and the hope of this child and what he can be or she can be.
Mm-hmm. It's going back on your theme of hopelessness versus hope.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, I mean, again,
there's no necessarily right or wrong here, because what you choose to do with your own life is 100% up to you. If you decide to have kids, that's great. If you decide, unfortunately, I'm not even going to say unfortunately here. That's not even how I believe, but I'm just in this very, very positive mindset right now. I had 2 guys that were basically, one guy last week, dude, did 365 days of positivity posts on Instagram.
Oh, wow.
And then he came on my show, and now he's like spreading out the positivity more. And then I had this guy, a fellow Canadian, Positive Vibes, on the show on Friday. So I'm positive vibes all around and have you with the silent retreat. I'm all about the life and the hope right now, which is a bit of a change. The Nick Diaz nuts here, but I am trying to embrace it as much as possible. And truly, like, you know, I'm sure it's almost an impossible thing to talk about because it's you can't go back and say, oh, now that you're born and you're not how you wish you were and you're not how I wish you came out, we're just going to go backwards in time and this is never happening, you know. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, in that sense, the positivity and optimism is
And hope, dude, and hope that you know something better is going to come from this child being alive, in whether or not it's in their own life, the child's life, the parent's life, or some stranger in the future that you don't even know, and that child's going to, you know, maybe give a job to somebody that really needs it because they have to have a home caregiver or something. I don't know. Like, there's so much good to be done out there, and no child should be left behind no matter what. I know you feel the same way. I'm not saying you don't. I know you're playing the devil's advocate here. Now, to a point.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, I'm just everything is becoming very black and white as far as for some things for me. And I just see, I'm seeing through a lot of the quote unquote BS. And I'm just like, oh, that's just hopelessness, dude. Like that's you can dress it up any way you want, but like essentially, if you don't want kids in the future, that means you've lost hope.
You've lost hope in humanity, basically.
In the future, in humanity, and what we're doing here.
That's true. It's true. I would side with you on that point for sure.
Yeah, at least on that point. But dude, this is again. I say this. Well, growing up, my parents used to say every movie I went to was my new favorite movie. And, I've said this before, but every conversation I have on here is my new favorite conversation. And I think the reason for that is because every conversation I have on here, I get a little better. I know I talk a lot on here, but, and I hope I didn't talk your head off.
No.
This is definitely one of my favorite conversations, not only because you're one of my boys outside of this podcast game, but because we really got to some good stuff here in that silent retreat, dude. I think that could definitely be something I'm going to do in the future. And one of the reasons I say that is because every time I think about it, it scares a little bit of shit out of me. And I've jumped at planes, I've scuba dived, I've done all that stuff, and being silent for 10 days, you know, I have a podcast here, and 10 days of silence is, we say on Anchor, 1 day is 1 week, 1 week is 1 month, 1 month is 1 year if you're going every day hard on Anchor. And so 10 days, my goodness, dude, that's like 2 months of being silent for the Nick Diaz nuts. Oh, man.
But yeah, you should definitely consider it if you're interested.
So I just to wrap it up here, looking towards the future, being hopeful towards the future, what's on the horizon for you? And what's the next thing that your eyes are set on? I know you on trips like years before you did them, and then you did them, and so I know that at least in your head, whether or not you've admitted to it or anybody, you started planning or whatever. But what is on the horizon of your mind, my friend?
What is on the horizon? Okay, well, I'm planning on, quitting my job closer to the end of the year, and just saying, fuck it, and traveling the world for, I'm hoping, 6 months to a year, at least 6 months.
Is there any particular place in the world that you would like to visit during that 6 to 12 month period?
So part of this journey is one of my ultimate goals will be to do the Everest Base Camp trek. Which is a 2 week journey to where I guess the hikers would stay in preparation for summiting Everest. So I won't be summiting Everest, but I'll definitely be in the vicinity of that area. So
oh my God, dude, that's one of my dreams. It's one of my I've got this weird thing with Everest, as I'm sure a lot of people do. I don't even want to climb it. I don't want to peak it. I don't want to summit it. I just want to go see it, because to me, it's now more than just a mountain that it's like, I got to climb this mountain. Like there's in my, not to bring everybody down here, but there's people that have lost their lives in the pursuit of this mountain and summiting it. And just the idea that this mountain has taken and taken so many lives, as well as inspired way more people than it's taken, obviously, but it's just this drawing of society and humanity that's in itself inspiring to myself. So, so you want to go to base camp. Is there any other kind of place in the world that you want to make sure you get to?
Southeast Asia will be the destination for sure.
Well, I mean, that's going to, it's on the Everest is China, Nepal area, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
So you're probably going to be down that area anyways.
Exactly.
It's just a hop, skip, and a jump once you're over there. Take some midnight trains.
Yeah. And then, and if, you know, like funds and finances permitting, hopefully get to New Zealand to do like a camping trip throughout New Zealand. Because I've heard many great things about that. So
as somebody that's been to New Zealand, not to do what you want to do, but I've known many people to go to New Zealand, including one of my brothers, both of my brothers. No, only one of my brothers, I think. But if you're low on funds, you can still probably do it, but you just go work on a farm for a little bit, and then you get to stay there and see the countryside of New Zealand, and then you can just like make some cash and then head back to the city.
Nice. Yeah, I've also heard of a lot of people doing that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. I'm so excited to hear that. You know, you're about to take on the world by the balls, if you will. And on top of everything that you said, I want to make sure, dude, especially if you're going to go on this fucking adventure of a lifetime, you need to do something on social for it.
Okay.
People are going to want to come along, I can guarantee you.
Yeah, no, I'll have to figure out some something.
I'm saying Instagram, I'm saying at least a blog, and you can write blogs on Instagram. You can go long form on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And so my love right now is the Anchor Instagram combo, because to me it's the audio mixing with the visual, and together they form at least one half of what I'm doing here on social. But there's going to be people, you're inspiring me to figure out what I want to do next. So I know you're going to be inspiring lots of people with what you're doing, what you're thinking about. So I can only hope that you figure out something, and I'm more than willing to help in any way I can.
Absolutely.
Get something up and running. And at the very least, it would be so cool when you get a Wi-Fi connection somewhere in the world to jump on a call and get you back on the Nick Diaz and Knots later.
Oh, I would love that.
If not early, before that as well, because that's going to be a while from now. But dude, it's been a pleasure talking to you on the show. I've been really looking forward to this, and I'm so happy we actually got it done on this amazing family day holiday.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. This is definitely cool. It's something that's out of my comfort zone. So
good.
Thank you
good.
for giving me the opportunity to talk about stuff.
Tea, everybody, with the silent retreat. Click the link in the title of this segment in Anchor, or you can go to, spell it out for the people out there.
So the website is actually, I'll have to send you like the link outside.
Okay. But spell it out for the people out there that are just going to type it into Google right now.
So VIPASSANA, Vipassana. Yeah.
VIPAS Vipassana. There it is. There it is. Okay.
All there right. It is.
VIPASSANA.
That's it.
DHAMMA.org.
That's it. That's the one.
Got you. I got you, bud. I got you. I'm all over it. Dude, thank you so much for joining the Nick Diaz of Knox podcast on this cloudy, looks like, Monday afternoon.
Gorgeous.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Peace, Nick.
Later.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.